to free my children. My truth is there. My word is there. So let my truth unlock you. Let my truth unlock your chains. For I am for you, says the Lord. I am not against you. I no longer see your sin, says the Lord. The sin that I died for has been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. So today, anything that the enemy has reminded you of and what you have done in your past, know this today, that you are a new creation, that all things have passed away, and now all things are new. You are new in me. You are in me, and I am in you, says the Lord. So lift your eyes to heaven. Just as you sang this morning, lift your eyes and look upon me, and let my truth set you free. You are mine, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper and or stand in the name of Jesus. For I call you righteous.
Myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice. Word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes, your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, see, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, see.
washing my majesty. Your majesty, Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my majesty. Your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God's free.
Someone have a word? We need to hear from God this morning. Frank? Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, yeah.
Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain.
So God, we submit ourselves today to hear your word and to be changed by your word. That Lord, that this day, that as we walked in, we will not be the same when we walk out. And God, that is our will, is that you change us today in your presence. In your presence, all darkness flees. So Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way in the word. Have your way in our hearts. Open up our ears to hear you. Open up our souls to be blessed by you. Be excellent. Yeah. Of soul, because of your dunamis power that is here today to change us and to deliver us and to set us free so that we can live that abundant life that you died for so that we could have it. God, bless this day. May we bless you with our obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I think Don's going to come up and share with us this morning. Or something.
Morning. Let me start by saying, watch out what you hear me say this morning. Watch out for what I'm about to say. Be very careful with what I'm about to say. And the reason why I say that is because God himself warns us of that. God commended this one group of people back in Palestine or somewhere over there in the Middle East. They were called the Bereans. And he said the Bereans were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message that with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Now, can you imagine that? Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was like just a pillar in the church, he comes into Potter's hands here next week. And it's Paul himself preaching. And rather than being in awe and whatever, falling down at his feet, God says, now, pay attention to what he's saying and make sure that what he's saying lines up with Scripture. So that's what I would open with for you, for all of us here this morning, that just because I'm up here, that don't just take it at face value. Make sure that you find out that what I'm saying is from God, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I don't know, it was a couple years ago, because it was back at the other building. A lady was sharing, and she was talking about this guy. I think he was from Red Deer. He went and he hiked up Mount Everest. And it was a great story about how this guy was hiking up Everest and all the challenges, life-threatening challenges that these people face. And as they are going, there's at different places some ropes that they can actually hang on to, and it'll help them get up this mountain. And the analogy was made that in the same way we need to hang on to God, because life is tough. Life is not always easy. And it's everything we can do to not give up some days, because it's so miserable. So, I've heard people say at different times, the Lord says, and the Lord said to me, and when I hear that, I always think, okay, that's cool. And then I listen, okay, so does it line up with the Bible? Does it line up with what God has already revealed to us in his word? And I think that's important. One thing that is very biblical is that God calls us to have faith. God wants us to believe. He wants us to have faith. And what I like, one thing that I think is very interesting about faith in the Bible, faith has action. Faith has got some wheels underneath it that are turning. Faith is kicking up dust, and faith is doing something. Faith is not, a biblical faith is not, sitting on the couch watching Oprah. Faith is, a biblical faith is, there's something going on, right? James chapter 2, verse 14. I'm going to pull out a bunch of chapter verses here, or Bible verses here this morning. And if you've got a Bible, I encourage you to open the thing up. James chapter 2, verse 14, God says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well-fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." Dead. But someone will say to you, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." And then in James 2, verse 26, just a little bit further down, he says, "And the body without the spirit, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Here's a good one. Acts 26. Acts 26, verse 20. "First to those in Damascus, and then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds." They should demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. Prove your repentance is what one, the old NIV, the old New International, was the way it was translated. James chapter 4, verse 8, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." Come near to God. So here's my point. How do we come close to God? How do we do this? Like, what happens? How do we come close to God? How do we hang on to that rope when we're climbing up this life called Mount Everest? You know, I like that analogy, but like, what's really going on in my life as I do that? How do we hang on to that rope as we're journeying along life's way here? And how do we here in Red Deer demonstrate a biblical faith? John chapter 14 and verse 23, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching." Sounds familiar? I think we already heard that this morning. "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching." And this is Jesus himself speaking, right? Jesus says, "My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." So, obey his teaching. Let's start with a hard one. We'll go. Matthew chapter 23:23, Jesus says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dew, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." I'm pretty sure, No. When I read scripture, when I read the Bible, in Matthew chapter 23:23, God's saying that if our faith is in action, if we are faithful people, we will be giving to charities, and we will be giving to those who are in need. It's going to be happening. And I think God here in this part of Jesus' teaching, I think he's slapping the Pharisees a bit and saying, "Yeah, you know what? You guys are great. You're tithing. You're taking a tenth of everything, right down to these little spices, and you're separating out a tenth of the spices that you have, and you're giving that too. But you're neglecting the weightier matters of the law." And so he's slapping them around because they're speaking figuratively. He's giving them what for? Because yeah, they're giving and tithing, and he says, "Okay, that's fine. That's good. But you're neglecting something bigger than that." So I think God wants us to be generous and to give to charities, whether it's church and et cetera, et cetera. So if money is one of my false gods, that I'm worshiping, this won't be an easy teaching. This will be something that really bugs me and is stirred up within me. And I think God wants me to be faithful in my giving. James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Confess your sins, really? Are you serious? I don't want to do that. That is not easy to do. That is not an easy task to do. But will we be faithful? Can we show God that we love him by being obedient to him? Because, you know, it's not really a, what's the word? Ah, thank you. It's not an option. This is a command, right? Confess your sins. Matthew 5, verse 44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Yeah, that's easy to do too, right? No. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who bug you. Can I tell your story, Doug? So Doug drives a bus for the city here, and the dispatcher is that Doug has to kind of take what he's given as far as buses. This dispatcher that assigns this stuff to Doug is not nice, to be polite. He is not nice, and he's probably not in church Sunday morning. He's like he bats for the other team, okay? It strikes Doug that this guy has purposely given him equipment and a bus that he knows hurts Doug's back, but he does it anyways out of spite. And so I feel for Doug, and I bet you can too, because we've all been in spots like that where we got people that really treat us badly, and God says, pray for those people. That is not hard to do. That's not hard. That's not hard. Yeah, folks. That is hard to do. That's not easy to do. And not to pray that God would come and kill them, but that God would bless them, that God would have mercy on them, that God would lead them to repentance, that God would be kind to them as God has been kind to me. God, as you have been kind to me, would you please be kind to, you know, somebody I hate. Somebody that I don't really like, but I live with, or whatever, you know, whatever our individual situation is. God, would you be kind to them? Again, back to how do we show our faith? How do we show that we are faithful? How do we demonstrate our love to our Creator? Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, 25. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. And it goes on, but I'll stop there. Do not worry. Don't worry. And then follow that up with be anxious for nothing. I didn't write that one down. Philippians 4, 6. Thank you. Be anxious about nothing. So don't worry and be anxious about nothing. These aren't suggestions. These are commands. And then Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8 is just packed. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about those things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, to me, that takes it to my everyday life, right? That takes it to my Sunday afternoon, my Monday afternoon, my Wednesday mornings, Thursday nights, everything, Friday nights. What am I thinking about? What am I allowing into my house? What am I allowing into my eyes? What am I allowing into my ears? What am I allowing in? Exactly. What am I listening to on the radio? Am I listening to the radio? What kind of a movie am I going to the, what kind of a movie theater, what's on at the movie theater that I'm going to, you know, at TV, on TV, et cetera, et cetera. I kind of giggle at this because there's, in my former life, I listened to a lot of George Thorogood, and he's got this funky rockabilly song that goes on about, and he sings, "Who do you love?"
Jesus.
Well, you know, and that's the right answer. It's Jesus. But how do I demonstrate that? So I can say, yeah, I love Jesus. But who do I love? Do I love the talk show host on the radio or on the internet? My wife will know very well who I'm talking about here. There's this guy I listen to all the time, this Alex Jones guy on the internet. I listen to him a lot. Well, do I love Alex Jones more than I love the Word of God? Do I love CKRD radio more than I love listening to the Bible or whatever? You get the point, right? Who do you love? What are you listening to? What are we allowing into ourselves? So to conclude, I wish I had a verse for this. I don't. Maybe somebody can help me out with this. God did not promise us that following Christ would be easy. In fact, when he was talking to the people in first century Palestine, when Jesus Christ was walking on the planet, when he was walking around and he was talking and teaching with people, he said, anyone who would come after me must take up his cross and follow me. So that's language that we're not familiar with here in 2014 Red Deer. But at the time, I think we can probably all agree, if somebody at that time said, take up your cross, that meant death. A very cruel, humiliating, painful, slow death. And Christ said, if you would come after me, if you would follow me, take up your cross and follow me. I think a biblical faith has got some wheels underneath it. There's something going on with a biblical faith. It's not sitting on the couch watching Oprah. So I need to put down my false gods. I need to resist the devil. Draw near to God. He will draw near to me. He will draw near to you. Resist the devil and draw near to God. And let's worship the King.
Thanks, Don. I think the words you were looking for were, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Yeah. Jerry's going to share the word with us. No.
Bless you.
Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for
Jesus.
The word you're going to bring this morning through Jerry. Lord, just fill him with you. May your words come from his mouth, Lord. Just thank you again for all you're doing in this place this mm-hmm. morning. What an awesome God we serve. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
And so here we are with God's truth. The words that he gave me, and this morning I have, it's a one cough drop and 10 post-it note sermon. One time when I was speaking at a fellowship we used to attend, the preacher's wife said, hey, I noticed you were having a cough drop there, and I said, that's right, when the cough drop's done, I'm done.
Ahoy out there, are we? Oh, just like that. Well,
first of all, thank you for those who prayed for Gladys and I, our health, in the past couple of weeks. Between Mama Bear and I, we're not the old gray mare and the mighty stallion of the prairies are not the same. It takes a long time and a lot of good oats, and it's certainly the prayer to get us back mobile. So I'm just blessed today by your prayers and the blessing of those prayers, and a privilege to be here today, for sure. Oh, an announcement. Doreen McGregor, for those of you who know her, a dear old soul who was active in this fellowship and certainly with Loaves and Fishes for about 15 years, has now moved back to Red Deer, and she's up the hill there at Michener Extendicare. And like always, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning, she'd appreciate a visit. I know that for sure. So, now, Remembrance Day, and that's coming, and we see a lot about it, and it is a good thing to remember those who gave their lives for our freedom. Now, we live in a free country. We live in a free country, and we're relatively, to a high degree, safe here. And we can say we're Christians and not get your head cut off. So we're thankful for that, for these people who sacrificed. I have a special interest. My old pappy was in the First World War, and Stettler was a large community with the tanks that were slaughtered at Dieppe. Lots of prisoners of war. Lots of people didn't come back. So as I was growing up, we saw that, and very encouraging to be able to send parcels and those things overseas and see those people come back. So we're remembering them. But also for Christians, for each and every one in here who knows Jesus Christ as our Savior, every day should be Remembrance Day. Every day should be Remembrance Day because of his sacrifice on the cross for our true and eternal freedom. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I consult my notes. Oh, no, yeah, I can read my handwriting this morning. This is good. Thank you, Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, we were here, and Pastor Alvin and those who are working with him, the leaders that are at Lazarus House, he spoke on something that really encouraged me. It was that God had given them the vision of what to do there, of disciple these men, pray for them, support them. The men spoke about it, and that just warmed my wretched old heart that slowly but surely being healed by Jesus isn't going to be wretched forever. It's in the book. It said, from glory to glory, he's changing me. He is. Thank you, Jesus. And they're following that vision. They are. The enthusiasm, the young man who comes from Black Falls to attend and work and help there, and the gentlemen that were in there, and a gentleman from this fellowship who goes there and leads Bible studies. Tremendous. So that was just something I'd bring up this morning that touched my heart. And also, this ministry has a vision as well. Potter's Hands has a vision to reach out downtown here with the gospel by deed, by doing things. There's that works it talked about this morning. By the word of God and by prayer. And most important, when the outreach is here, reaching out with the love of Christ. Because we can't do any of that stuff if we don't have the love of Christ. And might as well stay home. Buy anybody a hot dog, but if it isn't done with the love of Christ, it'll just fill their belly for a short time and away they go. And Proverbs. I thought of Proverbs this morning about vision. Where there is no revelation, some say vision, the people cast off restraint. In other words, if we don't have a vision from God, if we don't follow that vision, we'll go our own way. I bet there's nobody in this room that ever went their own way. Good, thanks for letting me feel alone up here. What a crowd, the only one that went his own way. Believe me, don't bother. So what about you and I as members of this body of Christ? And the pastors and the leaders here have encouraged us even this morning to do something, not just sit there, do something. And so many of you are doing something. For those who are doing something, I hope this little message is an encouragement for what you're doing and a blessing for what you're doing. And for those who are watching Oprah, maybe this will encourage you and challenge you to get up and get rotating. Page 15. Now, a great old guy from a long time ago, St. Francis of Assisi, gave up everything he owned to follow Christ and bring the message of the gospel to people wherever he went. And he was a millionaire, and he gave her all up. And he went around in Walmart jeans. Anyway, he did that, and he was quoted, and I hope this is St. Francis. If not, somebody can correct me at their own risk. St. Francis of Assisi was quoted, "Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." So, you know, it goes to buy your food, you shall know them. And he went around reaching out and building relationships. And Jesus did that. He went out and built relationships. And he went where the people were. He didn't say, "Here I am over here, come on over." He went where we were. It was footwork. Yeah, there was footwork. There was no Dodge Caravans like me and Grandma got that we could drive. Yeah, so he did the footwork. And his example is in Matthew 20, 28. Post-it note number 2. And it reads this way. Come back here. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give" what? "Give his life for us as a ransom for many." So there we are. There's our example, Jesus. Number one example. And another one that God spoke to me as I stumbled through the weekend praying and say, "I really need to get this right, Lord, because this is from you." Matthew 5, 14 to 16. And this is what we are if we know Jesus Christ, and we're going to follow him and we're going to obey him. Matthew 5, 14 to 16. "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds," you're doing something, "and praise your Father in heaven." And so when we do these things, it doesn't say, "Wow, look at old Jerry, put 20 bucks in the pot there." No, it's to glorify God. It's to glorify God. If we're not doing it for that reason, then once again, stay home. I'm not going to watch Oprah. No, 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 no. Not for me. I watch these ugly gunfights, these old cowboy stuff. Because that's more in my age bracket. You young guys can watch Oprah. So here we are then. Let our deeds. That means we're doing something. And not glorifying ourselves, but God the Father. Our service to Christ was planned ahead for us. And I looked at in Ephesians 2. This didn't just start one day. This was planned ahead. And I found this in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. "For we are God's workmanship." Look that up and it says masterpiece, guys. Ladies, we're masterpiece. We're not just the average snipe. "God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do" what? "Good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So this didn't just happen the other day. He had all this planned. And if we will follow, if we'll obey, he'll line them up. He's got them lined up for you already. And the sad part is, and I can speak in my own life, you know, I missed a lot of those. Missed a lot. But, you know, God is so gracious. He said, "Okay, Dodo there, good old Jerry, he missed that one. We'll give him another one." And he'll wish he'd have took the first one. And we go to James, because we already heard from good old James this morning, didn't we? Well, this one is dear to my heart because of, had a granddaughter, she's, I think, 24 now, but she was living in Castor, and she went to separate school, Catholic separate school. And one morning she phoned me and said, Papa, wow. And I said, what, wow? She said, I learned a Bible verse today. And she said, here it is, James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Once again, we're into do. And faith and deeds, I'm going to go over there seeing as you plagiarized my sermon this morning, but that's okay. Doesn't matter who preaches it. Yeah, that's right. It had to be God's plan. The gentleman who spoke this morning is that bright, but I'm not necessarily. For what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes. This is no weather for without clothes. And daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action, deeds, whichever, is dead. So, you know, where's our faith? Is our faith alive? Is yours? Is mine? Are we? Yes, and lots in this fellowship are. So you don't have to squirm in your seat. You're already doing a lot. But those who aren't, who haven't stepped out, this stuff isn't rocket science. This is right from God's heart. Do something. Do something. So there are a lot of little doing outreaches that I've learned over the years. They didn't come naturally. Although God did have Gladys on the training camp, we were looking after seniors. And one was my dear, sweet old mother. And that was a joy to go back to Stettler and look after her. And my mother was quite feisty, indeed. So it was a learning experience. And Gladys broke it up many times as we were threatening that to kill each other. But it was a learning experience, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful I did it. I did it. Yes, I'm thanking God. So here are some of the doing outreaches that we could do just to get started, and they're easy. Building relationships for Christ. So phone someone and check on how they're doing. Visit a senior. Ah, there's Doreen, and got another couple of people there up at the center that I know, and visit a hospital. Boy, that's important to people, because sometimes in the hospital you're pretty low, way down there with a snake's belly. Many are lonely, and we can do that visit. Right in this fellowship, we can visit people who are lonely. Invite somebody for a coffee yet, or in fact, even better yet, invite them for a meal. Go to a home visit, phone and say, can I come and see you, or would you come to my home? And you get the opportunity, I found this, that people rarely, when they're sick and when they're down and when they're lonely, refuse prayer. Very rarely say, oh, don't bother. No, they don't. They say, wow, thank you. Thank you. And also, Grandma and I in our mighty Dodge Caravan, we're able to give rides to medical appointments. And if you have a vehicle, you're able to do that. You're able, because there's lots of people without transportation. Bus is difficult for some of them, with a walker, a wheelchair. So there are many things. What about inviting somebody to church? I invited a guy yesterday, and I've known him for 20 years, and he's had the battle, and we've discussed, and we've prayed. And I said, come on, join the rest of us crazies. Don't be afraid. Come on and join us here. There'll be people you know. People you know. And there'll be encouragement, and there'll be acceptance for who you are. And volunteering, lots of places to volunteer in Red Deer. That'll give you the opportunity to build relationships. Lots of places to volunteer. So, and Jesus has promised to respond to your efforts, to your outreach, to your deeds. He said he'll respond to that. And he said in Matthew 10:42, where are you here? 10:42. I guess we try another one. Oh, no, we don't. 10:42. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, and they can be little ones or they can be us little ones, to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. So we're guaranteed our reward and the blessing. And we go to Matthew 25, 31 to 40. Further proof that God recognizes and will bless us. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heaven, in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, the righteous, come you who are what? You are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance. Take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was sick and you looked after me. I was needed clothes and you clothed me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry? And when did we feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. So when you're out there on that outreach, think of Jesus. Think of Jesus. So, as I've listened over the years, many people say, well, it's all right. One more blessing here. Don't want to forget that. No. The postie notes. And this is from Psalm 41. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. And some say poor, some say weak, some say needy. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. The Lord will protect him and preserve his life. So there's another blessing. God promises blessing. He's going to bless you if you will take the stand, if you will, in his word, in his truth, in his love, in his strength, get out there and do something. And how will I do any of these? Well, how will you do any of these? Remember, we took a... No, it wasn't here. I preached somewhere else. Terrible thing, this memory, when you're 75. But where are we going? How are we going to do this? Well, Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. And you've heard it many, many times, but you can hear it again. But you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, including Red Deer. Including Red Deer. I added that. Just added that. I didn't write it down anywhere. So I added that. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. And people say, well, I'm afraid to. Yeah. Well, if you have the Holy Spirit, you believe what Christ promised us. He said this in 2 Timothy 1:7. For you did not receive a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So, you know, you're equipped. As for myself, Gladys and I say this, Lord, you choose today who we're supposed to come in contact with, who we're supposed to outreach, and you tell us what we're supposed to say or do. So that means, by God's grace, we'll get no Jerry junk mixed up in there. And we really, really need that, because sometimes we'll get into the heroism trick when we really don't have to. If it's done for the glory of God, it'll flow smooth and people will remember what was done for them. And that's true for all of us here, whether you're new, whether you haven't started yet, or whether you're willing to start. That's for all of us. So God will provide the opportunity, and all I do is challenge you to trust him for the opportunities that he will give you and your opportunities to reach out to others.
Well, I think we're supposed to do something. That's the message I got this morning. You know, it's so important that we recognize that faith is something that we have, and out of gratitude is where the works come from. It's because of what God's done for us that we can do. We're able. You know, you can look at yourself and go, well, I can't talk to anybody. I can't do any of this stuff. And guess what? With Christ at your side, you can do all things. So let's sing together one more song before we go.
And any of you who would just like to just come to the front and just surrender your life, I know that I just feel in my spirit that there's prodigal sons and daughters here today that just want to come and just get right with the Lord and just say, you know, I went my own way, but today I heard your voice. I'm going to come, and I'm going to listen to your voice, and I'm going to obey. Finally, all those tugs at my heart that I've been ignoring. And so just, he's here for you today. He's here to set you free. He's here to set you on the right path. If you've hit the ditch, oh, he's there to take you out. Amen.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days. Because he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain, as death gives way to victory. I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know he holds the future. And Yes, life is worth the living just because he lives.
So go with his blessing. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Christ Jesus our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.